Hello again, Bernie Miklas with you with another Bernie Miklas show here on my YouTube channel. Thank you for subscribing very much. Appreciate all your comments. Appreciate all of your support. And we'll keep rolling these out for you. I'm excited. Spring training's opening and can't wait for the start of the actual regular season. I think the Cardinals might have a chance to be interesting, but not so much based on record. That's another video for another day. Today, I want to talk about I'm laughing already at myself, not at you. Let me repeat one of my favorite song titles ever. And you have to go all the way back to the legendary MC5 from Detroit, Michigan. So let me, in their words, kick out the jams in this one, okay? We'll kick out the jams. All right. Look it up if you don't know what that means. I don't blame you. See, I like to use some esoteric references sometime because the people who understand them really love it. And the people who don't understand them will do what I usually do if I don't understand something, which is to go look it up on Google, right? So anyway, I learn a lot that way. That's my education. Let's talk about the Cardinals and this increasingly ludicrous Nolan Arenado situation. And the only reason I'm going into this is because of some reporting done by Jeff Passan of ESPN, who's got great contacts everywhere. And he was talking about, he had a list of the remaining questions in the offseason. One of them was, okay, you know, are the Cardinals going to trade Nolan Arenado? What's going to become of him? And so Jeff Passan, an old friend, he mentioned, well, maybe the Dodgers are looking at something or the Yankees, but he seemed very skeptical of all that. And Jeff Passan said, for those of you who missed it, but it's okay, even if you saw it, we'll review it because I got some information on the other side of this that will, in effect, explain just how ludicrous the Cardinals are being, if in fact Jeff Passan is on solid ground with his reporting. Because what he said was that, you know, Boston is still the most likely destination. And he, let me just read this to you. And of course, this is all contingent upon Alex Bregman not signing in Boston. And then the theory goes the Red Sox would pivot and try to close the deal with the Cardinals for Nolan Arenado. And by all indications, the two teams have continued to talk. But this is what Jeff Passan wrote that caught my eye and I'm sure caught your eyes. And I've been thinking about this a lot anyway, and I even talked about it on the Gas House Gang at KMOX. Here it is. Quote, moving Arenado could force St. Louis to eat upward of half the money he is owed. Short of that, Boston's interest is iffy. Such posturing, of course, is the domain of the winter, and when something looks dead one day, it can come back to life the next. And he is correct about that. He said, still, for a team that values its analytical model as much as Boston does, deviating from it is not Boston style, and the Red Sox will set a number they're willing to take on, meaning salary, and either there will be a deal or there will not be a deal. So the Cardinals, and this isn't the only place this has been reported by national media, you know, the Cardinals are like holding their ground in terms of whatever it is the Red Sox are asking them to give financially to make this deal go down. When Arenado, in the trade that Arenado, you know, eventually rejected, that deal with the Houston Astros that the two teams had gotten done, but he vetoed it. All the reports suggested that the Cardinals were willing to pay $15 to $20 million, something like that. So if they were willing to pay $15 to $20 million to offload Arenado and the Red Sox are asking them, demanding that the Cardinals put up more than that, my feeling on this, my opinion on this is pretty simple. It's like, well, if they have that chance and they really want to do this trade, they really do want to offload Arenado as they say they do, well, what are you waiting for if you have, if that opportunity presents itself? Why would you kill a deal if Arenado wants to go to Boston? Why would you kill a deal just because you have to kick in more money? And this is kind of where I dive back into this a little more. And even though, you know, the Cardinals are starting to take a lot of heat, nationally, and maybe if I have time, I'll get back to this stuff. Because let me just throw this one thing in. Jeff Passan also wrote this, quote, "Why St. Louis hasn't been more aggressive in dealing its bevy of talent from Arenado to starter Sonny Gray and Eric Fetty to closer Ryan Helsley to young players Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman who have hit a wall. It's confounding to executives around the industry if the Cardinals aren't going to spend and they haven't spent a dollar in free agency." True. Surely the thinking goes they should leverage the players they've got now and start building towards something more. Okay. I agree with the sentiment, if not some of the particulars, but I agree with the sentiment. And I understand why people would say, what the heck is going on in St. Louis? This doesn't make any sense. Instead, Passan continued, "The Cardinals seemingly are content to run it back, even if that means the awkwardness of Arenado returning. The Cardinals are prepared for that possibility, and they are content after a mediocre season in which they lost nearly 400,000 fans with now another uninspiring winter. It's an organization stuck in neutral, a feeling that led John Mozeliak to announce he will step away after the 2025 season and yield the team's president of baseball operations job to former Red Sox chief baseball officer Chaim Bloom." There were similar sentiments expressed by my friend Bob Nightingale, the senior baseball writer at USA Today. In his offseason winners and losers column this week, Nightingale put the Cardinals at the very top of the losers list. He wrote, and I quote, "This is a franchise we no longer recognize. They've been the class of the NL Central since the turn of the century with 11 division titles, 4 World Series appearances, and 2 championships in front of baseball's greatest fans. Now," Nightingale wrote, "for the first time in 3 decades, they're settling for mediocrity while they undergo a rebuild. They haven't signed a single free agent, made one trade for utility man Michael Hellman, who was about to be designated assignment by the Twins, and they still are desperately trying to unload third baseman Nolan Arenado and the remaining money in his contract. It's going to be a long, hot summer in St. Louis." Okay, let's kick out the jams a little bit about this, because I got to tell you something. This really bugs the heck out of me. I'd like to use some other words, but I won't. Okay, let's just say for the purposes of conversation, because all we can do is speculate. If the Cardinals were willing to go up to $20 million to get Arenado to Houston, why wouldn't they want to go up another $10 million or so to get him to Boston? All right, so let's just talk about this, all right? All right. Let's use the hypothetical that the Red Sox want the Cardinals to pick up half the tab of the $64 million still owed to Arenado. So that would be $32 million. Well, I'm not real good with math unless I'm using a calculator, but I do believe that 64 minus 32 is 32. And I think I do know this much about this particular math equation. 32 million is a hell of a lot less than 64 million. And 64 million is what the Cardinals would be stuck with if they hold on to Arenado for the next 3 years. So to simplify, for my own sake, because I'm a man of a simple mind, even if you eat half the money, you're still coming out $32 million ahead. And you know what? By agreeing to eat half of the contract, maybe you'll get a much better prospect because of that. And don't forget Chaim Bloom, the guy that will be taking over. Oh my gosh, that day cannot come too soon. He's got great knowledge of Boston's number 2 ranked farm system because he's the guy who drafted the players, most of them, and built the thing before they unceremoniously dumped him because the owner had a bad night of sleep or something and changed his mind again about what he wanted the Red Sox to do. So they could actually, by paying more, this is just theoretically, by paying more money, you probably come away with a prospect that would have some appeal, you know, maybe a lot of appeal. I don't know. I'm not going to speculate. My goodness, I'm so burned out on reading all these blogs everywhere. It's like, well, here are 25 trade proposals where the Cardinals could get for Nolan Arenado. No, I just make it stop. I don't have enough here. I don't have enough pain reliever to keep reading that stuff. All right. But $32 million is a lot less than $64 million, so the Cardinals still come out ahead. They still come out ahead. It's not like they're asking, they would be asking the Cardinals to do something where it would actually cost the Cardinals more money, like as in terms of net gain, net gain or loss, where the way this equation adds up, you pay half the remaining salary, you still come out $32 million ahead. Why is this so difficult to understand? And why would this be the thing that's holding this up if it gets to that point? And let me add to this, because this is the other part that we need to talk about. It isn't just this isolated situation where, they still come out $32 million ahead if they eat half the contract. But what makes this even more puzzling, and frankly makes the Cardinals look even worse, is the way the Cardinals were able to squeeze so much money out of the Rockies when they made the trade for Arenado. According to Cotts Contracts, and listen, there are some discrepancies in the reporting on this contract. It's very, very complex. But let me just say this. I'm in the ballpark. I've done the best I've come to kind of suss it out because I'm seeing a couple different versions, but this is all basically the same. So I'm presenting these to you carefully, doing all the research I did just to make sure I haven't forgotten anything. But it's hard to get everything to mesh, so I did the best I can, and I am definitely in the ballpark. Okay, so the Rockies gave the Cardinals a heck of a lot of money as part of this deal. The Rockies sent $14.3 million to the Cardinals to cover part of Arenado's salary in 2021, but there's more to that later. The Rockies forwarded $5.57 million to the Cardinals after Arenado declined to opt out of his contract following the 2021 season. The Rockies paid $16 million of Arenado's salary in 2023. The Rockies covered $5 million of Arenado's salary in 2024. And the Rockies are on the hook to cover $5 million of Arenado's salary in 2025 and another $5 million of his pay in 2026. So if you add all of that up, the Cardinals come out way, way ahead. At the time of the trade, Arenado had, before the 2021 season, Arenado had 6 years and $167 million left on the eight-year, $260 million extension he signed before, again, the 2019 season. But add that of that pile of money, of the $167 million left on that contract, the Rockies gave the Cardinals a total of $51 million to defray the cost, which from the St. Louis end actually made it a six-year deal worth $116 million, an average of $19.3 million per year. But to get Arenado to agree to the trade that brought him here, because he had a no-trade clause, the Cardinals added an extra year to his contract, tacking on $15 million for 2027. Really not a big deal. So if we subtract what the Rockies are paying St. Louis, even with that extra season added on, the Cardinals' obligation to Arenado becomes, after the trade, 7 years, $131 million. That's an average of $18.7 million per season. That's Miles Michaelis money, at least in just about. And like what terms of Michaelis will make this season. So from 21 through 2024, the Cardinals got one great season. That was 2022 when he finished third in the MVP vote. They got one great season, two good seasons, and one above average season from Arenado, because last year he was above average, according to total value, but slightly above average offensively. According to the value scale at Fangraphs, Arenado's performance value over the four seasons as a Cardinal so far, $138.5 million total. $138.5 million of performance value in the first four years he's been a Cardinal. So again, the Cardinals clearly came out way, way, way ahead in this trade. They gave up the Rockies in terms of talent, gave up very little. The only notable player who's still with the Rockies is Austin Gomber, the lefty pitcher, but he's got a 5.08 ERA in his four seasons with the Rockies. his fielding independent ERA and the, you know, kind of neutralized ERA is about 4.7, but still, this ain't Kershaw in his prime, okay? And the Cardinals came out of this way ahead on the financials. Even if Arenado makes it to the end of his contract, which expires at the end of 2027, they will have paid him less than an average of $19 million per season. And the Rockies also, the Rockies' money also covered a good amount of the deferred dollars owed to Arenado. And again, this is the complicated part. So let me go over this again, put sort of framing it a different way. In effect, Colorado paid for all of Arenado's $35 million salary in 2021 because Arenado agreed to take $15 million that year with the other $20 million deferred. So he took $15 million, $20 million deferred. That adds up to his $35 million salary. But those deferments, which are spread out over a long, long period of time, were essentially covered by the Rockies when they agreed to send that $20 million as part of the, you know, the 2021 financials, right? So again, there's some minor discrepancies here in the reporting, and it's difficult to cobble it together, but I'm in the ballpark. But the point is, the Cardinals didn't have to pay Arenado anything. In 2021. Well, they had to pay him, I guess, $15 million. You could look at it that way. But really, that's why it's complicated. Really, they didn't have to pay him anything because the Rockies were picking up so much of a part of it, including all those deferments. So the bottom line, with the Rockies picking up such a huge part of the tab on the front end of this deal, the Cardinals acquired an elite player at a bargain price financially. And they gave up virtually nothing in terms of talent. They made out very, 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 very well on the trade and on the financial arrangements. So if they want to move Arenado and maybe pick up a good prospect in exchange, then why the heck wouldn't they go ahead and pay the Red Sox or another team a good chunk of the money left on his contract? To repeat, the Cardinals already won the Arenado trade, the big one. They already won that one. And so what's the big deal if they've got to maybe do something they don't want to do to get him out of here, right? They're still coming out way ahead. To repeat, even if the Cardinals eat half of what's owed, they would still save $32 million. So it's a net savings of $32 million. Why don't you accept the victory and make the trade if this thing comes to the point where you have to make that decision? What's the problem here? You know, so why would they be balking at that? Listen, I did a video last week, I think it was, where I said, look, if they got to keep Arenado, there's some benefits to that. I keep an open mind on things, and I'm also pragmatic on things. It's not like keeping him is the worst thing in the world. There would be some benefit to that. So if they want to keep Arenado, then keep him. I've already talked about this more than a few times here on the Bernie Show on YouTube, but also in my columns at Scoops Network. Arenado has value to the Cardinals that could help them win more games in 2025, provided that other hitters step up and do what they're also capable of doing, and provided that the bullpen's as good or whatever. You know, the pitching, they certainly aren't moving veterans out of there to make room for some young starting pitchers, although injuries will take care of that. But I don't care if Arenado is a Cardinal. I have no vested interest in this. I always try to make sure I look at things from every angle because I want to make sure I understand everything. And if he's a Cardinal, there are pluses to that. But there are also some negatives, which we'll review here in a bit. But here's the deal. My opinion really does not matter because the Cardinals told us they were trying to trade Arenado. The Cardinals at the winter meetings back in early December went public with John Mozeliak telling reporters. He expressed confidence that they would trade Arenado because he kind of liked what he was hearing. Maybe he got some bad intel. I don't know. But he was out. He's normally very secretive, but he was very upfront about we're trying to trade Arenado. And we're confident we'll make a deal. And I think at one point he even hinted that it could be they'd like to wrap it up before Christmas or whatever. So then in the winter warm-up, which was in January, Mozeliak doubled down. If you remember, he said, trading Arenado was priority number one, priority number two, and priority number three. Well, if this is such an urgent priority, why is Arenado still employed by the Cardinals? If the answer is, well, we can, you know, they have a chance to trade him to Boston, but it's Jeff Passan and others are reporting if that becomes a reality in that, you know, Bregman goes elsewhere, doesn't sign with Boston, then they want Arenado, the Red Sox. Okay, if it gets to that point, and this is such an urgent priority, priority number one, number two, and number three, that's a priority. That is definitely a priority. Well, then why would they balk at giving the Red Sox more money? And how could this be? How could this be considered a reset if Arenado remains at third base? If Arenado's on the Cardinals, the Redbirds this season will have a group of position players going into this season that collectively took 82% of the plate appearances in 2024. It ain't a reset if you have such a heavy volume of last year's players still in place in 2025. That ain't a reset. They're not resetting. They're reheating what they already have. And a couple guys stand to benefit from that. A couple, three guys stand to benefit. But it's not resetting. It's reheating, okay? Because they're taking what they already had, most of it, and they're reheating it. So, you know, here we go again. This stuff just drives me nuts. It's because it's just so loop-de-loo. But if the Cardinals can't trade Arenado, we know this, but let's review. There are ramifications. Nolan Gorman won't be the third baseman. He'll go back to second base. He'll probably be used more at DH. Brendan Donovan will be used a lot in left field, which leads to the probability of Lars Nootbaar playing center field, which would upgrade the center field offense, but endurance is still a question with Nootbaar, and his center field defense is average at best. I'd be in favor of him playing center anyway. Then again, I don't think that I don't think that Michael Ciani is Duke Snyder. You know, look it up, kids, if you don't understand. Go to Baseball Reference, Duke Snyder. So if the Cardinals can't trade Arenado, there's all kinds of things. There's a trigger effect. There's all kinds of things that just come on down from that. In a scenario that features Nootbaar playing center between Donovan and Walker, I don't see how, for example, Victor Scott would get much of a chance to play at the big league level. Because as we know, manager Marmol will want defensive specialist Michael Ciani as the fourth outfielder. And as a fifth outfielder, Scott wouldn't get many at-bats, and he really needs to play regularly to improve not only his defense but his offense. If Arenado is still a Cardinal, I don't see a meaningful major league opportunity for Thomas Szczęsny. And if Szczęsny can't get many at-bats for the Cardinals, they're going to keep him up here. He'll go down. He'll get a ticket back to Memphis in AAA. And having Arenado in place for 2025, or most of 2025, I guess they could always move him at the trade deadline if there's interest and he consents. But anyway, it makes it tricky to construct a lineup that ensures a lot of playing time for everybody in the mix. And that would be the lineup combinations that would include Arenado, Donovan, Gorman, Walker, Nootbaar, Alec Burleson. They all cannot be daily lineup fixtures, because I know some people say, well, no, you can put that lineup together. Yeah, you can. But how often can you do that if everyone's healthy? I think Burleson's probably the guy that would get squeezed a little bit, which would be typical Cardinals in a way. You know, I think like, well, who would be the odd man out? Not that Burleson wouldn't play, probably wouldn't get as many at-bats. That's all I'm saying. And it could go down by quite a bit. He had 595 plate appearances last year. If they don't move Arenado and you sort of have this log jam, it's not a log jam. You just sort of have, you know, a lot of guys that need and you want them to have a lot of at-bats. It's just it's virtually impossible to get them all of the heavy-duty volume of at-bats that they want and the Cardinals would like to give them. I mean, someone's going to have to sit more than would probably be best for the team and for the player, and that would be Burley, who had 595 plate appearances last season. He led the Cardinals in RBIs. He was second in home runs, and he was third in slugging. And yet, if Arenado's a Cardinal, that likely means a reduction in playing time for Burleson. I say this because Marmol and the front office are absolutely committed to playing Walker and Gorman no matter how they're doing, right? See, this is why the fans, a lot of you, other fans, are fed up. There's way too much confusion. This is such a jumble. The Cardinals are taking such alarming stances that are filled with contradictions. They promised a reset that isn't a reset, not with the major league roster. Not yet, anyway. The reset is down below in the minor leagues and the player development system to modernize that mess. The Cardinals talk about, oh, it's a reset. We're going to give the kids runway. First of all, a lot of them aren't even kids, all right? Marmol was quoted in I think, Derek Gould's story in the Post-Dispatch today talking about, we want to see what these young players can do. And he mentioned Newt Barr and Donovan. They're not young players, okay? They're just not. Victor Scott's a young player. We're talking about major league experience and birthdays. There's some guys that are young players. But why do they always put Donovan and Newt Barr in that group? They're not young. They're established big leaguers, all right? That's the stuff that just drives me nuts. Some of you may say, don't let it bother you so much. I can't help it because I can't stand the false advertising. Reset, reset. We're going to give these young guys a chance to play. Even though, don't tell anybody, but a couple of them really aren't young. But we got to market this to the fan base. Okay. No sale here, but go ahead, market. This whole reset leading everyone to believe it's not a rebuild, but, you know, man, they're just going to turn the younger or more inexperienced players loose. Well, they're not going to do that. Even with the pitching, they're not going to do that. They say, well, we got to find out about some of these young pitchers. Well, all right. How about making a space for them? Like, in other words, if you want to find out for your young pitchers, you're in a situation where you have found out all you need to know about Miles Michaelis and Steven Matz. Miles Michaelis, just in case the Cardinals need the info, I'm being facetious, but sometimes I wonder, it's like, what else do you need to know about Miles Michaelis to realize that maybe it's best to move someone in there and have him do something else? I don't know, pitching long relief or something. Michaelis, the last 2 years, among qualifying major league starting pitchers, has the third worst ERA at 5.04. And what else do you need to learn? What do you got to find out about Steven Matz? You know, my favorite Matz stat is that he has spent, he has spent over 100 days. Well, he spent well over 100 days on the injured list as a Cardinal. And you know how many, days he's actually been on a pitching mound in a regular season game for the Cardinals? 52 days, 52 appearances in 3 years. The rest of that on the injured list. So what are you trying to learn? Oh my goodness. Anyway, and I know that the Cardinals will be using young pitchers because there will be injuries and maybe they move Matz to the bullpen instead of trading him. I don't know. But if you move Matz to the bullpen, you're blocking another young guy from getting an opportunity. I mean, you really are. And, you know, Matz has been fine as a reliever when he's been healthy to stay in the bullpen and actually pitch, right? He's been fine. But, you know, you hear some people, fans and media, carry on about this as if the dude, I'm going to go back in the past again. See, because I like my references to go back. People go on and on about him as if like he was Sparky Lyle or something. Can we just calm down and quit overrating this guy? Anyway, I told you I was kicking out the jams. So the Cardinals talk about having a good season, a winning season, a surprising season, maybe even a contending season, but they haven't signed one established player to a free agent contract. They haven't spent $1 in free agency. They made only, as Bob Nightingale alluded to, made only one minor trade for a spare part in Minnesota, a 28-year-old guy that's had 10 major league plate appearances. And the Twins were about to let him go. And I'm not saying Michael Hellman can't help the team in some way. I don't know. But I'm just saying, if that's your big move and they signed Nick Anderson, a reliever, to a minor league contract, he'll have a chance to make the club. But last season, his fielding independent ERA was 5.04 and his strikeout rate collapsed. So again, that's the best you can do. Maybe they'll get lucky there. I don't know. He did pitch. He was really good in Tampa when Chaim Bloom was there. Maybe they found a way to revive him. I don't know. So if the Cardinals have a chance to trade Arenado by agreeing to pay a hefty surcharge to cover a lot of his remaining salaries, well, so what? They won the Colorado trade in a row. Mozeliak said trading Arenado was priority one, priority two, priority three. So why would you call off a trade if it materializes as a thing you got to make a decision on? Why would you call off a trade because you don't want to pay more money to offload Arenado, even though you're way, way ahead on this and the financials over the history of your working relationship with Nolan Arenado? I tell you what, and see, this is where the Cardinals are kind of tone deaf. You know this. I don't have to tell you this. This is such a ridiculous posture if it continues. Maybe they change their mind and will concede and put up a lot more money. We'll wait and see. But if they don't, it's such a ridiculous posture that's going to validate two of the most stinging, damning criticisms against this regime. Number one, the Cardinals are cheap. And number two, the Cardinals have no idea what they're doing. And there's evidence of both things because they certainly don't have any idea what they're doing in this so-called reset. It's like, well, we'll go out there in that press conference, call it a reset. I mean, media will be writing that down. I mean, holding up the tape record. Oh, everybody be excited. But then they change their messaging on that. It's like, well, we're going to be pretty good. Yeah. Well, our players are hungry. Yeah, they're, well, you just watch us. You just watch our boys. You watch our kids. You watch our 28-year-old kids play. I'm being sarcastic. I'm sorry. But no, the mixed messaging all over the map. And if you're not going to, if you're not, even though you're going to save $32 million, you're going to hold off on giving the Red Sox, if it comes to that, what they want. Maybe they ask you for half, as I said. But even though you're still going to come out $32 million ahead and you're not going to do it, if it comes to that, what other reason would there be to cite except they're being cheap and they're being really stupid, hard-headed and stupid? Sometimes I wonder if Chaim Bloom has any idea what he's really walked into. The Cardinals not only sort of have a house of cards right now, right? They exist in a house of mirrors. A house of mirrors that they've actually built and constructed all by themselves. They're responsible for the house of mirrors because they put it together. And you know what the real sad thing is? They put the house of mirrors together and they have no idea, how to find their way out of it because they're all over the place. Reset. No, we're going to win. Reset. No, we're going to try to win. Reset. No. It just you know, one direction, then swerve to the other direction. They're banging into the glass, into the mirrors. And it's like, which way's out? Oh, wait, let's go over here. No, let's go over there. Boom, you know, banging into the house of mirrors, the walls. They built it. They created it. And they don't know how to get away from it, how to get out of it. They don't know how to escape. Chaim Bloom, you sure you still want this gig, huh? Anyway. I had to get a lot of that off my chest. I talked you through it. I mean, you didn't need me to talk you through it, but just when you factor in all the money that Colorado's given the Cardinals for Nolan Arenado, right? A lot of money, right? Why would the Cardinals let what they're being asked to do? Hey, they had no problems asking Colorado, give us more and more and more. No, that's not enough. We need more. Bill DeWitt negotiated that deal with the Rockies owner and took him to the cleaners. You know, so, you know, you did this to the Rockies. It doesn't mean the Red Sox are as stupid as the Rockies were. So now you're sort of the Rockies in that the Red Sox, if it gets to that, they want you to do more, 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 right? And if the Cardinals say no, 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 well, this is the kind of arrogance that kind of got him in this deal, in this situation in the first place. Again, in the House of Mirrors. Well, how do we get out of here? Well, I don't know. You built it. I'll follow you. Then maybe not. I'll find my own way out because you all don't know what you're doing. That's it for today. Thank you for watching The Bernie Show.